Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's a game night at MSG as the Sabres look for win number 12 in their last 13. Welcome in to Sabres Live. It's Buffalo against John Quick and the New York Rangers tonight as we look forward to our pregame happening at 6:30. Martin, it is revenge night. I mean, it was a tough season opener for Buffalo to the Rangers, 4-0 on home ice. It would be nice to enact a little bit of payback for that, wouldn't you think?
And it would be great to do it in the same way that the Rangers did it to the Sabres, because the Rangers do not score a ton at home. So the Sabres were not able to score any goals in that one on opening night. So flip it around and go back in MSG and make those home woes for the New York Rangers continue. You know, you mentioned Jonathan Quick. So Shesterkin got hurt earlier this week, a left leg injury. Officially, it's a lower body injury, but we all saw it. We all saw he hurt his left leg. And, you know, they said that they feared that it could be really bad, but that it's not as bad as feared. So that's going to be better for them. But interestingly enough, Jonathan Quick has got better numbers this year, goals against average and save percentage-wise, than Igor Shesterkin. His win-loss record is just not great. It's 3-6-2 because the Rangers don't score a ton of goals. And when Quick has played, they have not scored a ton of goals. So, yeah, that could be a nice revenge game in New York tonight for the Sabres to try to continue to keep up, right? Like Montreal won last night. You've got some teams that are Washington keeps losing. You can catch Washington, with a win today. So I think that would be great.
Huge night in the NHL with a dozen games, so we can dive into a lot that pertain to the East. You mentioned last night the Sabres did get beneficial results from Ottawa losing to Utah and the Capitals falling to Dallas as the Stars get back in the win column. The goalie matchup we're expecting tonight would be Colton Ellis against John Quick. From the Ellis standpoint, we touched on it briefly yesterday, but just anything new to add to your thought process with Ellis, given that he's been out for a month and this would be his first time, of course, on the stage that is MSG?
What's new for me for Colton Ellis is, like, he hasn't played since December 9th, right? That is the game that he got hurt at the end of the first period against the Oilers. And I remember in that first intermission, Duffer, I was like, hey, he got bumped. He'll probably come back at the start of the second, needed to get evaluated. No, he had a concussion and he missed, quite some time and hasn't played in almost a month. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be a little concerned, a little stressed about Colton Ellis going in. I understand you need to get him back in it. He's healthy. Luukkonen is probably going to go Saturday at home. Luukkonen's numbers at home have been great this year. So Lyon played so well, in the time that Ellis was hurt and that they were just riding Alex Lyon. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has played so well in this, stretch of 11 wins in 12 games that I'm like, the expectations are, Colton Ellis, you're in there. You better perform at the same level everybody else has performed. That's what they need you to do. It's not a game where you're like, hey, let's see how you are. Like, baby steps into this game. No, you better have a giant step into a game playing at a high level. And that's a lot to ask for a guy that has played, no games in the last month.
Correct. And obviously,
but you got to put him in there. That's the thing. He's got to play too. So that's the thing. It got to happen.
The Sabres have been quite good and productive, if you will, at Madison Square Garden with points in five straight. They're 3-0-2 over that run there. And, tonight it'll be Ellis, we expect, getting the turn. This is, for the Rangers, for all their struggles, they've kept their head above water a little bit, going 10-7-4 in the last 21. Yeah. But obviously Buffalo's streak, really impressive, but Marty, they barely, like, 2 points. They've gained 2 points on Tampa and Montreal over the last 10 games. It's remarkable how little they've gained, but also how incredible the Lightning, winners of 8 in a row, and Montreal also with 16 points out of a possible 20 over the last 10 games. So we are at the halfway.
7-1-2, right? Like, I mean, you're looking at Montreal, they have one regulation loss in the last 10. Tampa has won 8 in a row. They had lost the two previous to that, but you're Buffalo. And Saturday, you played Columbus. You were in a playoff spot. You lose that game. There was game Saturday night.
They were out before the game started with the Pittsburgh win.
With Pittsburgh winning earlier. Yeah. But game Saturday, game Sunday, games Monday, you don't play until Tuesday. By that point, you were 4 points out. And you won, and you're still not, like, in because you got to keep winning. That's the thing. But if you do win tonight, you tie Washington, and you have two more games in hand because right now you're sitting down 2 points back of Washington with three games in hand.
Okay, so they're at the halfway point. They played 41. Tonight marks the start of the second half. Who was Buffalo's first half MVP, in your opinion?
First half MVP, I am going to say Tage Thompson. I'm going to say Tage, 21 goals now. You know, not having the centerman that he thought he was going to play with in training camp, Josh Norris, got hurt against the Rangers and then missed 24 games. And then playing on the wing, getting back to the middle, having this kind of little battle as to, I like the middle better. Now I think that we know that even with Doan and Krebs, Thompson is performing. Thompson is going. And it has allowed Lindy Ruff to put, well, let's put Norris and Tuck on a different line. Let's put McLeod and Benson on a different line. Like, we all thought Thompson was going to be Benson and Norris and Thompson, and then it completely changed, but he kept performing. So for me, the MVP is Tage Thompson for the first half of the season. Do you concur?
Well, I'll take issue with what you said about the center that he expected to play with. I think Tage is the center that he expected to play with all along. So while we were, you know, speculating about line combinations, I think Tage's inner desire was always for him to be the number one center on this team. So he's in that. I think I was fighting the question just because it sounds ridiculous because he obviously is such a driver of the five-on-five offense and the numbers put him at the top of the team. But I think I was looking elsewhere this year based on the fact that I feel this recovery from where they were to where they are now has been so team-wide that I would probably lean to Matias Samuelsson only because of how far he's risen. Like, there's a really nice, concise piece by Matthew Fairburn today at The Athletic about all of this kind of stuff. And Matthew put him, Samuelsson, that is, as most improved, and I think that's impossible to argue. Like, he clearly is. and yet I think because of what we've heard other people say through the absences and challenges personally that Dahlin has had to navigate, and at times, you know, what they were getting out of three-goalie situation, I just think Samuelsson has been so consistent that you know how I'm wired. Like, show me a smart player, show me a consistent player. And those are often the two hallmarks that I would want most. And I think Samuelsson's been that in the first half.
I think Sammy's been great, and you're right. And it's allowed for Lindy Ruff to say, well, let's put him with Dahlin, and then let's have Byram with either Power, or when Power was with Kesselring, Byram was with, you know, Bryson, or, you know, like, and it was working. So it allowed for your depth on defense to go. Now, I did say Tage Thompson. I think that when people ask me, what has been the turnaround of the Sabres? Why have they won 11 out of 12? And my first reaction to that is Josh Norris. And so now I'm like, would Josh Norris be the MVP of the first half? But he's only played 15 games. But in the last 14, because the first game of the season, let's put that aside, in the 14 that he's played since returning, he's got points in 11 of the 14. And he's been a big part of that added depth. And maybe that's, maybe I'm underappreciating, you know, what he has meant to this team. But that's like the first answer I've got when people say, well, what's the turnaround? I'm like, well, Josh Norris. But is having played in 15 of 41 games enough to be your MVP? So that's why I went Tage Thompson.
Sabres Rangers tonight, second of three meetings. Of course, Sabres Rangers always causes us to reflect back on playoffs past. And today's Twitter poll question is one that certainly will, I mean, maybe it causes you to think, or maybe your immediate reaction is so strong that that leads us to an overwhelming poll result so far. Yes. At Sabres Live. Like, which of the goals in Game 5 against the Rangers in 07, like, which Game 5 goal is more memorable and meaningful for you? The Drury tying goal or the Afinaganov OT winner? It's a landslide for who else right now?
Yeah, Chris Drury tying it with, just a little over 5 seconds left. And, you know, Vanek lifting the leg and Lundqvist and the whole thing. It was memorable. But funny enough, would that moment be as memorable if it wasn't for the overtime Afinaganov meaningful game winner? Because if Max doesn't score that goal and the Rangers score, and somehow Sabres lose that series, let's just say, are we talking about that Drury tying goal in the same way that we're talking about it right now?
Of course not. You have to win.
Of course not. You have to win. That's right. Now, I voted for Drury as well because I think the moment, the who else, the building exploding, that was magical. The Afinaganov overtime goal, like, Max did not have a great shot. What is he doing on the power play, taking that slap shot from that far out, and he scored? And then the diving celebration, everything was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So meaningful and memorable, they were both having their moments. I think Drury is more memorable. Max was more meaningful, but I went with Drury.
As you know, I was very invested in the 10-game win streak statistically and comparatively to the previous 10-game win streaks in franchise history. Mm-hmm. Did you know that of the four 10-game win streaks Buffalo has now had, Max was the highest scorer ever in one of those 10-game streaks. He had 16 points in the 10-game run that he was a part of. Yeah. Perreault had 14 in the first one. Thompson had 14 in this one. So Max has quite a place here as far as creating memories. And we're just over a week out from, well, we're a week away from reunion night and then, you know, a week and a day to Ryan Miller's catwalk for charity. But I want to know your anytime goal scorer tonight as we get set for Buffalo, New York, part two.
This is going to be an interesting one for me. And I'm going a little lower on the list. I'm going Zach Benson, MSG, the bright lights, like, you know, maybe even a tweener between the leg like he did in Washington. But I'm going Zach Benson, a little uncharacteristic for me to go further down the board. And the odds, it's +330, I think, +3 something. So, yes.
Well, you're going much shorter odds than I am because I'm taking it a really long ways from where you are. Jordan Greenway is my choice.
Wow. Tonight.
Yes, he's +1,000. +1,000,
okay.
Has historically performed quite well against the Rangers, and obviously that line was able to contribute in their first time together in the game against Vancouver. It was the Austlin Greenway Malenstein line that did the work that led to the Metsä game winner, and we'll see if we can break our season-long tie right now.
Tonight. And I think, well, you got more value than I have, and I think this is a really good matchup, obviously. I don't think the fourth line of the New York Rangers is a line that provides a lot of offense. You got Rempe maybe on it. You got Sam Carrick. I think it's a great matchup for that line in Greenway. And Greenway had that play to Byram, that nice backdoor pass against the Ottawa Senators. He's had some good opportunities. So, +1,000. If you get that tonight,
yeah,
you are going to put me in that the backseat of the value for the season, definitely.
After tonight's game, the Sabres are home for five. We want to see you there. And obviously the schedule, you know, would feel favorable if you're looking at it from sheer wins and losses. Buffalo's been very good on home ice this year. And up next, it's Anaheim on Saturday, Florida Monday, Philly, Montreal, Minnesota. Can't stress enough, Marty, I'm so fixated on the three games this month against the Montreal Canadiens based on everything we've just been talking about. So, like, and then you marry that to the fact that that's reunion night. Like, this is shaping up to be the biggest homestand of the year, and it's going to tell us a lot. Buffalo's already beaten Minnesota, but they've already had struggles against Philadelphia. Florida is always a unique challenge because you never, I mean, they're right there with the Sabres, of course, yes, in the Eastern Conference standings. So how do you
get that? You mentioned Montreal quickly, Duffer.
Hang on. Okay, go ahead. We want to find the matchups that work best for you. It's a 5-game pack. Enjoy savings on single game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, and flexibility to bundle your favorite games. So visit sabres.com/5 to get yours today.
It's funny because you mentioned Montreal. Like, by the time they come in next Thursday, I have no idea who their number one goalie, who their goalies are going to be. They decided last night to play Jacob Fowler. It was Dobesh's turn. Mm-hmm. And tonight they've got Florida, and I would anticipate Montembeau to go back in after playing a couple of good games since his conditional stint. Will they still have Fowler by the end of the month? Will they be playing Montembeau more? Will they have Dobesh go back in the nets? Like, Dobesh is 13-5-3 this year. Like, he's +8.
And he's no Brandon Bussey, but he's been good.
He's no Brandon Bussey, but you, okay. So that's a great thing. Like, you talk about Bussey in Carolina and having a, he's not as young as a Jacob Fowler or as a Jesper Wallstedt, but no experience, no NHL experience before this
Can't
year.
Can't win the Calder.
Yeah, but he's like, Carolina's trusting a guy that had no NHL experience. Wallstedt in Minnesota is doing well. So there's been some unexpected goalies really performing well, and Fowler got called up and is looking really good. I can even look at the Sabres and, you know, having Lyon playing as well as he has this year and now Colton Ellis being in the folds. Like, there has been some unexpected goalies stories, and Montreal is dealing with a three-goalie head right now, and who knows who's going to play those three games?
Devin Levi had a great bounce back last night for the Amerks. Yes. They had a 3-2 win in Syracuse. It was a ridiculously hot start for the Amerks from a shooting percentage standpoint. Fiddler, Schultz, Rathbone, and Novikov scored in the first 10 and a half minutes of the game. And I'll be honest, not much happened after that. Like, Syracuse chipped away. Levi, it's so funny. And it's completely irrelevant, but you look at, like, the three stars, right? And you also know that home teams will cater towards their own, even in a loss, right? It's just, it's a shtick of game presentation. Devin Levi not being one of the three stars last night was an absolute joke. He's the only reason they won this game. He was so good in the back half of it when, you know, Syracuse kept pushing. Once it got 3-2, he made some stunning saves immediately after it to keep it from getting even. And so I thought Levi's bounce back after a tough one, his last go out. And now that North is super tight, and huge matchup tomorrow because they're home against first place Laval. Then they're on the road in Belleville on Sunday. Then they're back home next Wednesday. So hopefully it's a packed barn tomorrow against the Rocket.
The AHL has a little bit of an old school feel to their rivalries. And, you know, back in the day, if Reggie Lemelin had a good game in Buffalo, you wouldn't give him a star. You don't give a Boston Bruins goalie a star in Buffalo. So you don't give, you know, Devin Levi a star in Syracuse. That's right. How old school mentality I think the AHL still has when it comes to that.
Well, let's stay with goalies. And before we dive into the action last night around the NHL, we must pay our respects to Mr. Goalie Glenn Hall. I'm not sure I've ever thought about this, Marty, but if there was one person in our world that deserved to make it to 100 or live even longer than that, it's the greatest Iron Man the NHL has ever seen. And that's all apologies to the skaters who've had these incredible streaks like Kessel and obviously Brent Burns. But Glenn Hall will forever be known as a record holder in this league because of 502 consecutive starts, 552 if you include his playoff time over that stretch. Incredibly decorated, but maybe an even better person than he was as a player. And Glenn Hall passed yesterday at age 94.
I just saw yesterday Marty Brodeur posted a picture of the last time he saw Glenn Hall, and it was Glenn Hall, Grant Fuhr, Eddie Belfour, Marty Brodeur, and Bernie Parent. I'm like, what a group of five goalies, right? Like, pretty amazing. And Glenn Hall, when he had played eight NHL games, right? And then at the start of the 1955-56 season with the Detroit Red Wings, he played all 70 games. He missed 2 minutes in that season, probably because he got pulled for the last 30 seconds of a game here and there. And then the next year, played all 70 games. And then he went to Chicago and for 5 straight years played again all 70 games, so much so that in the 61-62 season, he played 4,200 minutes. 70 games, 60 minutes a game, 4,200 minutes. He was on the ice from the start of the game to the end of every single game in that season. That is unbelievable. 502, you mentioned. And yes, like, and then he went to St. Louis. And St. Louis, that was at the start of the expansion era. Mm-hmm. So the first, you know, few seasons in St. Louis, there's Glenn Hall.
And in the final every year.
And Jacques Plante. They had Glenn Hall and Jacques Plante as their two goalies in St. Louis. Like, how unbelievable is that? Knowing that that's how you start your franchise. Mr. Goalie, amazing. And yes, he was retired back in Alberta. And
Stony Plain.
Yes, Stony Plain, Alberta.
And, just outside of Edmonton to the west of the city.
But go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. If you're in Toronto, go there and go look at some of the video images. Like, it's, you know, Glenn Hall is a big part of the Hall of Fame.
You wanted quickly, and Darren Dreger's coming up at the bottom, and we do want to zip around the NHL from last night, but real quick on another legendary name in the game that passed this week.
Yeah, Bob Pulford passed this week, and look, he was, you know, with the Toronto Maple Leafs, won Stanley Cups, but people will say, well, who is Bob Pulford? Like, okay, great hockey, you know, personality and player. But in 1963, in October of 1963, there was a moment in a game between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens at the Maple Leaf Gardens, and there was a fight. Harper and Pulford on the ice were fighting, and then they were asked to go to the penalty bench. Well, in 1963, there was only one penalty box, and it wasn't divided. When you took a penalty, you sat next to the opponent. How in the heck, Duffer, did it take until 1963 to have an actual fight in the penalty box? And those two, Bob Pulford and Harper, fought in the penalty box, and nobody could get there. And you know what's so funny is that Clarence Campbell had his seat. He was the president of the NHL. He had his seats right next to the penalty box. He got a good view of it. And then they changed the rules, and they separated the penalty box and put a penalty box attendant in the box to make sure that that would not happen again. Obviously, there's been some issues, but yeah, Bob Pulford passed away earlier this week, but he was the reason why they split the penalty box in 1963.
Amazing. History is ever happening around us in life and sports, and last night was another great example. Macklin Celebrini is the MVP of this league, and he showed it again last night. No one wants the puck more. No one is more confident with the puck in a late game situation. And this, again, it's like the Sharks are better than anyone expected this year, but they wouldn't be very much without Celebrini. Marty, once again, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm yelling on my couch, like, this kid is so good. His tying goal was so good. And then, of course, in overtime, he had a dazzling assist. Like, it could have broken down in the neutral zone because the puck briefly hit the linesman in as he was going up the ice. But he corralled it. He stayed with it. He faked Kemper into believing that he was going to shoot the puck. Dude. And, oh, my goodness. Like, everything Celebrini is doing right now as a teenager is I'm out of words, quite frankly, other than sheer joy every time I get to watch him play.
So that fake in overtime, by the way, the sell of the, like, it almost like his body broke as he was trying to fake and then slides it over the goal to tie it. I was asked yesterday, who's the MVP of the first half of the NHL? And I said, Nathan MacKinnon. Even though Connor McDavid has recovered to take the points leader, points lead in the NHL. But I read a couple of things this morning, and they make a fantastic argument that Macklin Celebrini should be the front runner for MVP this year because of what the San Jose Sharks are able to do right now. Mm-hmm. Being in the first wild card position is importance to the team, and what he's been able to do is just amazing. And yes, Canada did not medal again at the World Juniors, and everybody in Canada is freaking out. What's wrong with our hockey?
They won the bronze.
Huh?
They won the bronze.
Well, no, they did win the bronze. I'm just saying they didn't win like a gold, and they lost to Czechia in three straight games in three straight years or whatever. But everybody's freaking out in Canada. What's going on with? Okay, Macklin Celebrini should be playing in the World Juniors, and he's like one of the best players in the NHL, and all the other ones. Like, let's not panic in a land that they're so proud of their hockey. I'm proud of my Canadian roots and hockey and all of that, but I'm not panicking. There's got so many good players that are in the NHL and potentially could be at the World Juniors. But Macklin, can you imagine Celebrini playing junior hockey right now?
No, like, I'd rather see him in the NHL every night. Forever.
He'd have 500 points in the season. That's how good he is.
Okay, calm down. Mario had like 280, and I don't know if Celebrini could ever top that.
Anyway. Mario was 16 or 17, yes.
Okay, one of the great stories last night is one we're going to hold for Darren Dreger coming up here, and that's as it pertains to St. Louis goaltending. So that becomes a big topic. That's coming up as Darren joins us from TSN. And we want you to visit sabres.com/AAA to enter the Escape the Cold Vacation Giveaway presented by AAA Travel for your chance to win an all-inclusive trip to the Dominican Republic. AAA Travel, where can we take you today? Darren Dreger, next on Sabres Live.